Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be learning Hosea Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. Since the fourth chapter, Hosea has hammered Bnei Yisrael with prophecies of rebuke and punishment. Finally, Perek Yud Aleph, we can take a little deep breath. Yud Aleph has nostalgic overtones. It shows a ray of light, hope for a better future. In Perek Yud Aleph, we learn that the 10 tribes will not be lost forever, that Hashem will bring them back. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Ki na'ar Yisrael v'ohavehu. When you were young, I loved you. Umi Mitzrayim karasi livni. And already from Mitzrayim, I called you my child. As we know in Shemos, Moshe is told to say to Paro, Bini b'chori Yisrael, my child, my eldest Yisrael. And then he says, Shlach es bini, send my child away. Those are the terms of endearment that Hashem used to call Bnei Yisrael his child. Pasuk Beis, Karulahem, Kain halchumipnehem. The Navi here is saying that the true Nevi'im call to you to keep the Torah, but as much as they call to you, Kain, so too they went away from those Nevi'im. In fact, Laba'alim yizabechu, Lapsilim yikaterun. They worshipped idols, and they worshipped the Baal. Apparently there were multiple Avodah Zarahs called Baal, like Baal Zvuv, Baal Peor. Pasuk Gimel, Va'anochi tergalti le'Ephraim, kacham al zrosav, v'lo yadu ki rifa'atim. There's a difficulty in understanding the word tergalti, which of course will change what the pasuk means. On the one hand, we have the word regel, foot. On the other hand, we have the word ragil, regular, or lehit ragel, to train, to get used to. So we can say, and I brought Ephraim upon my arms, guarding over them regularly. V'lo yadu ki rifatim. They never realized that it was I who constantly saved them from their enemies in the past. Like the days of Achav and Yehoram, Yoash, Yeravam ben Yoash, where enemies tried to attack them, and yet Hashem saved them. B'chavle Adam em shechem, ba'avosos ahava. With ropes of man I drew them, like light ropes, the kind used to lead a child. I drew you to me with thick ropes of love. Rav Chaim Chanun says this is referring to the desert. I commanded them to come close to me, and I took care of all their needs. V'ayelahem kimri me'ol al l'chyehem. I was like one who lifted the yoke from your jaws. Va'at elav ochil. And little by little, gradually, I fed you, regularly and gradually. The Navi is describing here that Bnei Yisrael is like a yoked animal, but being drawn gently. Yes, there are responsibilities, but I'm going to try and make it as easy as possible for you. With love. And when you're hungry, I'm going to lift the yoke off of your face and actually feed you your food. So you're going to have everything that you need right in front of you, which really sounds like the experience of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, where the man just came straight to them. Yet you didn't listen, and therefore you will be punished. Lo yashuv el eretz Mitzrayim, Pasukei, chapter, verse 5. You will not succeed in getting help from Mitzrayim. Rather, Asher hu malcho. Rather, Assyria will rule over you. Ki me'anu lashuv, because you refuse to return to me. And therefore, Pasuk Vav, v'chala cherev ba'arav. You know what's going to descend upon your cities? The sword. V'chilsa vadav v'achla. And your branches or your poles will be destroyed and will be consumed, either referring to your children and your offspring, or to your giborim, your strong ones. Mimo atso sehem, from your advice, from your counsel. Rav Hirsch points out here the sarcastic description. Look where all your good advice got you. It got you to a place of destruction. Pasuk Zion actually begins the Haftorah of Parshas Vayetze, according to Sfardim, which goes through the end of Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, and continues through chapter 12. And according to some, it continues to read through 13 and 14 as well. In a moment, we'll read about the source of the name El Al, the Israeli airplane company. And there will be words of hope for the future. But not quite yet. Pasuk Zion, verse 10. V'ami tilu'im l'meshuvasi. And my nation's decision to return to me is suspended. They're undecided what to do. V'el al yikra'uhu. On the one hand, they are drawn el al, towards elevation, towards going upward, when they are called by the Nevi'ei Emes, the true prophets. However, yachad lo yiromeim, yet they together do not rise and follow Hashem's path. And therefore, by justice, they're supposed to be destroyed, like what happened to Sodom and Amora, and the two sister cities of Adma and Svoyim. Yet Hashem says, Pasuches, verse 8, Eich etencha Ephraim, amagencha Yisrael. How can I give you over in the hands of the enemies, Ephraim? Eich etencha ka'adma, asimech kitzvoim. How can I hand you over like, or place you like, Adma and Tzvoim, these cities that were destroyed with fire and sulfur? They were completely eradicated without a trace and hardly a memory of them. After all, who talks about Adma and Tzvoim? Ne'epach alai libi, yachad nichmeru nuchumai. But my heart has changed for you. My compassion is kindled together. And so, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Lo e'eseh haron api, I will not execute my fierce anger. V'lo ashuv l'shaches Ephraim, and I will not return to completely destroy Ephraim. Ki kel anochi v'lo ish, for I am Hashem, not a man. A man can't control his anger, but I'm Hashem. I know exactly how much I can mete out. Bekir b'cha kadosh, in your midst, holy. V'lo avo ba'ir, and I won't come into the city. This last piece is rather cryptic. Bekir b'cha kadosh v'lo avo ba'ir, in your midst is holy, and I won't come into the city. So Rashi's second explanation is that ba'ir means hatred. So we would tie this together, that in your midst is holiness, and therefore I won't come to you with hatred. But most commentaries understand the word ba'ir to mean in the city. So what is this? In your midst I am holy, in your midst you are holy? And what does it have to do with I will not come into the city? The Gemara in Tainus 5a refers to this pasuk and explains that it means that Hashem says or promises that he's not going to go into his Yerushalayim Shalmala, his Yerushalayim in the heavens, until the Jews return to the Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Jews return to the Yerushalayim on this earth. So the way the Radak understands this pasuk, and others as well, is that Yerushalayim's holiness can never be removed, never be taken away. Hashem is not going to go into any other city in the meanwhile. Rather, he will wait until it's the right time to restore the Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim of below. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in his explanation on the Haftorahs, explains this pasuk in a beautiful and unique way. He points out that Hashem sends us into Gullis so that we will not be utterly destroyed. And even though exile means loss of independence, loss of land, and abandoned to foreign powers like Egypt and Assyria, that is not your ruin, he says, but the means of your salvation. For I am the Almighty and not a man. If your national existence and creation was based on the wisdom of man and the work of man and was an institution of man, then that would have meant the death of your nationhood. Exile would mean the death of your nationhood. But Israel's life and continuance is from the word of Hashem and the will of Hashem. As Rav Hirsch explains, I am the Almighty. Even surrendered to the caprices of foreigners, robbed of every national bond, Israel remains mine. Nay, rather becomes mine. I educate it by its fate. By it I open its hearts to my words, and it pays homage to me by sanctifying its life. Bekir b'cha kadosh. He continues, in its inner self, I will become the Holy One. Even if not in any city, even if there is no longer any city which Israel can call its own. Rav Hirsch is explaining that we're a divinely chosen nation, not a madman nation, taken out of Egypt at infancy, referring back to the theme at the beginning of the chapter. And perhaps this explains why the Haftorah of Vayetze includes this section, even though there's no direct reference to Yaakov Avinu, because Vayetze is about the survival of Yaakov Avinu against the brother who wants to kill him. And Perek Yud Aleph is a testament to Hashem's commitment to our future survival. In spite of, or as Rav Hirsch says, perhaps with the help of, exile. I want to go back for a moment to Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, and the phrase, Anochi tergalti le'Ephraim, kacham al zrosav. The Medrash Tanchuma would explain it, would translate it, I trained my spirit on Ephraim, kacham al zrosav, I took them with my arms, as referring to the time when Yaakov Avinu was getting ready to bless Ephraim and Manasseh. Most are familiar with the fact that Yaakov Avinu switches his arms, putting his right hand on Ephraim, the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh, the older. But before that happened, there's a little bit of a backstory. When Yosef HaTzadik brings his sons to be benched by Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov says a very odd thing, Mihem, who are these? But Yaakov Avinu knows who they are, they're the sons of Yosef. The pasuk continues that Yosef showed him something, perhaps it was his ksuba, showing that he married Asna according to the Torah. Or perhaps it might have even been an amulet placed on Asna at birth by Yaakov Avinu. But that's a story for another shir. Either way, the Medrash says that when Yaakov asked who are they, suddenly Ruach HaKodesh departed from him, because he foresaw the Rasha'im, the wicked Yeravam and Achav, who emerged from Ephraim and Manasseh, and would not or could not possibly bless them at that moment, because the Ruach HaKodesh had departed. And then after Yosef shows him proof of his commitment to Yiddishkeit, the Ruach HaKodesh returns, and Yaakov is able to bless them. And that's why it would be, I trained my spirit on Ephraim, brought him in my arms, implying the blessings that Yaakov Avinu gave Ephraim and Manasseh with his arms, in spite of the fact that there will be Rasha'im coming from Ephraim and Manasseh, because there is a vast portion that is redeemable. A beautiful and uplifting message. Mark Twain asks the question, what is the secret of our immortality? And he says, all things are mortal but the Jew, all other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? I think Rav Hirsch, in his explanation on Perek Yud Aleph, and Perek Yud Aleph in general, answers this question. As a divinely chosen nation, not a man-made nation, we don't play by the rules of other nations. And our survival is because of the loving bonds that Hashem has placed within us and around us, such that there's holiness in our midst. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmas Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Sa'ud.